Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. I am Ben Bullen, a video writer here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com also. And Ben, what do you think of when I say these words? When I say trebuchet. Theatrical.
Theatrical.
Air cannon.
Air cannon, okay.
Centrifugal.
Okay.
Catapult and okay. Torsion.
You know, it calls to mind throwing pumpkins.
That's amazing. That's incredible how you knew that. These are pumpkin chunkers or, things that you can use to whip pumpkins out into space and into a field.
To chunk
not,
one.
Not really into space. Into fields.
Well, you know, we'll find out if that's possible when this comes up.
Long distance pumpkin throwing. Yeah, right. When on Thanksgiving night on the Science Channel, there's an incredible show. It's pretty good, really. I've seen it in the past. It's called Pumpkin Chunkin', and that's on at 9 o'clock. But before that, you may want to watch another show.
The Road to Pumpkin Chunkin'. Oh, excuse me, Pumpkin Chunkin'.
Yeah, it's Pumpkin Chunkin'.
At 8 p.m.
Yeah, and it's really cool thing, but they find out these incredible ways to throw, is it 10-pound pumpkins, I think? I think it's 10-pound pumpkins. Throw them amazing distances. Not everyone throws them amazing distances, like the theatrical pumpkin chunkers, or they're in it just to make it happen at all.
Okay.
In these ornate ways, but some of these can throw pumpkins. they can throw pumpkins nearly a mile.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
The power involved in this is incredible. So it's definitely a show worth watching.
Awesome.
Now, you want to move on to something else?
Let's, you know what? You know, usually you have a pretty tough time in the podcast. I get off easy. So I've got a proposal for you. Maybe we can switch it around if you want to take the day off real quick.
Great.
Yeah?
Great. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about, cast your mind back, Scott. Not backwards, but just back into the podcast of yore when we did a conversation about movie cars, which one of the things that we received a lot of email about was Bond cars.
Bond cars,
yeah,
yes.
And so I'm thinking just...
talking James Bond cars. So
yes.
Agent 007.
Agent 007
License
himself.
To Kill.
Yes.
That's all I got. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was thinking maybe we could take a look at some of these cars because they're really cool. Now, there are 22 films, and in the next couple years, there will be 23. So I don't think we can go in depth to all of these. Because there's also a series of novels, as many Bond fans know. Mm-hmm. But since you are definitely an enthusiast of a lot of these types of cars, you know, they're fast, they're nimble. They've got Scott Benjamin all over.
Well, I've always loved the Bond cars. I think they're really cool. I'm not a huge Bond fan. I'll admit that right up front. I haven't watched all the movies. I know of the vehicles because I seek out information about the vehicles themselves, not so much I'm headed to the theater to watch, you know, to plunk down my $10 and watch the film.
Right.
I'm more interested in the vehicles and you know, what they can do and the gadgets involved and the cool things that he has installed in these things.
Yeah, man, it is so crazy. There's, because I always, before we really started looking into this, I had not seen too many Bond films, and I was under the impression that they were primarily Aston Martins. Mm-hmm. However, there are also Bentleys. There's also Lincoln Continentals, Lotus, BMWs, Audis. It goes on.
Yeah, there's a ton of vehicles, and if you want to get right down to it, the cars that weren't even equipped with all the spy gadgetry,
right.
He drove a lot of cars. I mean, there are Jeeps involved. There are AMC, Ramblers or something like
sure.
that. You know, it's not just the extraordinary spy vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
He drove a little bit of everything, but the ones that we tend to focus on are the ones that do exceptionally cool things.
Yeah, the Bond cars. In our heads are the ones that have all that. I mean, because come on, let's be honest. There's a little bit of darkness inside everyone when traffic is heavy, and you're thinking, man, if I just had some kind of oil slick thing or some kind of, you know, I'm not going to say a gun. We're not endorsing violence,
sure.
But you know, if you could have a car that turned into a plane, for
that
example,
that would be awesome.
That would.
No,
be
wait
awesome.
A minute. No. You almost got me. No, but I know what you're talking about, though. The gadgetry that is the Bond cars, unbelievable, because you know you see it, and then what the crazy part is, some of it ends up being really in production later on.
Yeah.
I mean, things like, I think that there was a car, and I don't mean to steal any thunder here, but wasn't there a car that one of his gadgets was a wireless phone?
Yes.
And
Very, you're on the ball there.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, of course, everybody has wireless phones now, and you see them in their cars talking on the phone.
Yeah.
There was some other gadget in that one particular film that I remember that they mentioned that is now just common production.
Commonplace.
Yeah, it's very common.
You're talking about the second mainstream Bond film, From Russia with Love.
Mm-hmm.
The only gadget that was in that car, from what I understand, was a car phone, and this was in 1963.
Wow. Okay.
So, well, I mean, that's very forward-looking, you know?
It is. It's forward-thinking, really. I mean, but they didn't have the technology to make it happen, of course. It's just a movie prop, but still pretty awesome. It's cool to see that, you know, that eventually made it, and you look back at what they're doing now with Bond cars, and it's like, I wonder if I can get that smokescreen.
Yeah, you probably can.
So, no, not likely. But
no, Scott, you see that we traded sides in notes here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I'm thinking maybe go through just real quick and talk about some of the cars that I think are cool.
I would love that.
Get your reaction.
Yeah, okay. I'd love that. That'd be great.
So there's a little bit of debate because in the series of novels that are the precursors to the films, the James Bond car is a Bentley rather than an Aston Martin.
Hmm, okay.
And, however, in the very first film, Dr. No, well, the first big release,
sure.
The very first film, Dr. No, it is neither a Bentley nor an Aston Martin that James Bond drives. The first car he drives is a Chevrolet Bel Air.
No kidding.
Yeah, which is weird because you don't really see it too often there. Huh. Now, it's not the first Bond vehicle seen in the series, but it's the first car he drives.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's one of the non-loaded with gadget vehicles. That's the first car that he drives? Or
yeah,
is it?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Not, yeah, and you're exactly right. So second one, From Russia with Love, we've got the Bentley that's mentioned in some of the novels and one of the first seen in the series. It's a Bentley Mark Four. Wait, Mark Six, and it's only seen in there briefly, but it's also it's kind of like a goodbye scene because Q gives Bond the famous Aston Martin.
Ah, Q is the one that comes up with all the gadgets and the cool stuff, right?
That's my dude.
Yeah, Q is pretty cool.
I like the
workshop area.
It'd be nice if we hang out with that guy. And so then I'm going to skip Goldfinger for a second because Goldfinger has something we'll talk about pretty quickly.
Okay.
So let's go to the next one, Thunderball. There's a Lincoln Continental, Bentley Mark II involved. You Only Live Twice. I actually don't have anything for You Only Live Twice,
that's
but there's
right.
a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to skip Her Majesty's Secret Service, and we'll get back to that.
All right.
Some notable ones, Man with a Golden Gun. There's an AMC Hornet, which is not unusual.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking Matador or something like that for some reason.
Well, this is...
AMC Hornet. No kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, 1974.
Now that's probably not. Again, that's probably not one of the tricked out vehicles, right?
No, I think he steals that one.
Oh, okay.
He actually steals James Bond, ladies' man, secret agent.
Yeah.
Car thief.
Yeah, car thief.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
And then there's also let's see. There's also the Matador. The AMC Matador is in the same film. And I love this quotation here. Bond is foiled by perhaps the best trick a getaway car has ever performed. It transforms into a plane. Which, you know, in all fairness.
That's your traffic solution.
Yeah, yeah. In all
Not
fairness,
mine.
I would.
Not
well,
mine.
It was for a second until you really
no,
thought about
no,
it.
No, it was not. I never varied from that,
okay.
from that course.
All right.
Still a bad idea.
Okay.
Even for James Bond.
All right. Well, we are going to agree to disagree because I want that flying car.
Yeah.
In The Spy Who Loved Me, there's actually a Lotus Spirit.
You know what?
You remember that one?
That's my favorite one.
Underwater?
It's a Spree. Because I know someone will write in. It's Lotus Esprit.
Oh, you're right.
That's okay.
Gosh, you're
that's
right.
That's okay. It looks like that, but that's one of my favorite Bond cars, actually. I was going to get to that because that's the one that turns into a submarine, right?
Yes, sir.
I think that is maybe one of the coolest cars because of what it did, and just the idea that it would function that way is remarkable. I mean, everything, the planning that had to go into something or thinking about something like that, what it would require, of course it didn't really do it. And I've heard of, you know, the dummy cars that were used in that film being, you know, located somewhere in a field or, you know, somewhere that, you know, it was neglected in a barn or something like that.
Right.
They're now on display somewhere. But, of course, non-functioning is just a shell, but really, really cool idea. It was a white Lotus Esprit submarine.
Yeah.
And really, really cool. I like that. I like that one a lot.
A couple movies later in For Your Eyes Only, he has an Esprit Turbo.
Oh, cool.
Which is, I guess, you know, it's a sequel, so they have to raise the stakes a little.
Mm-hmm.
In Octopussy, he has an Alfa Romeo.
Ah, very good. Yeah. Alfa Romeo.
Boy.
Sorry, man.
I should apologize to you. You are saving us so much listener mail.
I have to because someone would say, it's not Romeo. It's Romeo.
And they would be absolutely right. I am sorry, guys. I'm
0-2
on
these. You know what? When it comes to pronouncing names of, you know, on listener mail, cities where people are from or, you know, maybe where things are manufactured, you're the king. On this?
Oh, you're too kind.
I'll only step in if I have to.
You're the king. Please step in. You should pre-step in.
I feel kind of like a jerk.
No. Are you kidding? You should feel kind of like a philanthropist because you're saving us. You're saving us a lot of email there. Living Daylights, there's an Aston Martin V8 and there's an Audi as well. And Bond's driving that one. My favorite, License to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond gets his hands on a Rolls Royce Silver Shadow.
That's your favorite, really?
No
kidding.
Yeah, I like the Silver Shadow. First off, the name is awesome, and then Rolls Royce. I don't think I'll ever actually own one, but yeah, I think they're handsome vehicles.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to skip GoldenEye. Tomorrow Never Dies is all about some BMWs. As is The World is Not Enough, BMW Z8 there. And then in Die Another Day, there's an Aston Martin V12. There's an Aston Martin DBS V12 in Casino Royale and some more Aston Martins. Again, Audi in there. And now this is the part where you ask me, Ben, why were you skipping so many of those
films?
Why
did you skip so many films?
I am glad you asked, Mr. Benjamin. Mm-hmm. I skipped those films because they feature perhaps the most famous of all the James Bond cars. Mm-hmm. And we're talking including the really ridiculous ones and including the ones that have somewhat realistic gadgets. I'm talking about the Aston Martin DB5.
Ah, the classic Aston Martin. You're talking about the silver sports car, 1950s, is that right? Do you have the year of it there?
Let's see. Yeah. 50s? Well, it was in 1964 that it was featured.
Yeah, I'm not completely up on this, so I don't know what the year of that vehicle is exactly, but I'm sure someone will write in and tell us.
Yeah, never worry, sir. I have some stats for you here along with
fantastic,
a handsome
cool
picture.
Very cool.
Okay, so originally when Fleming wrote the Bond series, he had Bond in a DB Mark III, but when the movie came out, the DB5 was the newest, and so they used that, and they had several versions of this. You'll see there's the one that's in all the glamour shots. Then there's a stunt car. Then there are some publicity cars, and right now those cars are hot items, man.
So they probably bought up several of these, and these are real cars. These are real Aston Martins. They're not dummy vehicles.
No.
Okay, so I see here in the production numbers that they only made just over 1,000 total.
Yeah.
Wow. So they've got percentage of the original.
Probably. They sure do.
I mean, even if they bought five, that's a significant number when you're talking about 1,000 cars produced ever.
Right.
So that's got to be of value.
And they,
something.
Yeah, and they use them. They use other models, you know, to keep the, I guess, the universe, the Bond universe, mm-hmm. contiguous. In another film, Thunderball, they say he has the same car again, but of course it has to be a different Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. It's just the same model. So they have quite a few of these. Now, I think it was brilliant on their part, on Aston Martin's part, to have this vehicle become so iconic, you know?
Yeah.
And so let's see. What do you want to do? You want to go
well,
into...
Well, I remember this vehicle coming back, and I don't know if you'll know the film or not, but he won a car in a poker game in a recent Bond film.
Casino Royale.
Yeah, that's Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Do you remember the car that he won? This is it right here.
Yeah, it
I'm
is.
I'm looking at it. It's the DB5. And it was just kind of a nice nod to the past there.
To the history.
Because, you know, as soon as it appeared, you know, he won the car in the poker game.
Yes.
Everybody, you know, as soon as he saw it, the whole audience is like, oh. You know, you could hear the sigh, like, yeah, there it is. That's
which
the one.
Which is interesting because, you know, Casino Royale is, in the chronology of the films, Casino Royale is supposed to be James Bond getting his start, mm-hmm. and they actually changed the story a little bit because, you know, I said earlier in one of those films, Q gives James Bond the Aston Martin.
Oh, okay.
But in this modern version, he does win it in a poker game.
Mm, okay.
Because, you know, he is a consummate gambler.
Yes.
And
despite being poisoned or whatever it was.
Despite being poisoned, yeah. And then, let's see, I'll just briefly talk about some of the gadgets.
Oh, that's my... You know what? The gadgets, that's what I was waiting for you to get to. Because these are some of the coolest things on film, I think. You know, going way back, you know, some of these outlandish, like we talked about, these are a lot like the bat gadgets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on Batman. They're really outlandish, but who knows? Maybe someday some of this stuff will be available, or at least some form of this technology will be available, like the phone. I mean, that was crazy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not likely that they're going to have the oil slick or the smoke screen or any of that, but I don't know. It's just interesting to think that, you know, some of the spy tech mm-hmm. has come to life.
Well, you know, the interesting point to the smoke. I think that I think the M1 Abrams tank can shoot something that can shoot fog, which is, of course,
really?
A far cry from you or I getting it, from us having that.
That's cool. I had no idea they could do that.
I know. I just wish, you know, I don't think I'm going to buy a tank, but if I did, I would want that.
You go on a rampage.
So,
now,
yeah.
Just run through a quick list of some of the...
Some of them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then, save your... How about this? And at the end, I'll ask you your favorite.
Okay.
Because I've got a favorite.
You've got your favorite.
I've got one favorite gadget that I think every car should have.
All right. Okay. Well, our listeners are going to, you guys are going to have to wonder, because this will probably say a lot about Scott's character. Some of these gadgets are pretty devious. So there's rockets that fire from the front. There are target-seeking guns in the hood. Tires that produce spikes.
Which are real now, by the way.
Q-tires. Those are already real.
Those are real. Q tires.
Wow, they're called Q tires.
Yeah, Q tires. They're a prototype right now, but they're on their way.
So there's one. That's coming true. Mm-hmm. And then there is perhaps this is one of the goofier ones. An ejector seat in the passenger seat. And then there's, you know, which seems, I don't want to say impractical, but a little weird. And then there's some other stuff that is kind of realistic. I guess again in Casino Royale, there's the medical kit that has antidotes and even has one of those, what do you call them? The clear defibrillator.
Oh, defibrillator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shocker.
Shocker. Yeah. I call them clear and use a sound effect. and then, let's see, there's one that's pretty cool. Camouflage. Adaptive camouflage, a cloaking device that's in Die Another Day, which is, you know, right now impractical. I think there are some scientists who are starting to do some research. I read in Wired or Scientific American or something.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, but that is a long way away from being on a car.
It is, but I have seen this. There's this adaptive camouflage or this adaptive cloaking, I think is what they call it, or something like that. And it's really cool. I mean, it's another example of it, you know, the spy tech coming true.
Man, oh man, I would love that. As a matter of fact, you know what? let me tell you right now, that is my favorite.
Really?
That is my favorite thing, the invisible car.
Okay.
What about you?
Looking back at my notes, because I just scribbled a quick note, a gadget that you called goofy just a moment ago.
Oh, no.
The ejector seat.
That's your favorite?
That's my favorite.
Wow.
How could that not be your favorite? That's the long-running joke when you're in high school or whatever. Don't push that button. You grab someone's hand.
Yeah.
You know, because someone would always, invariably in those films, someone was going to reach out and touch that button to light a cigarette. You know, the passenger would have the cigarette in the mouth, reach over and say, like, you have a light, and say right
think
there.
It was a cigarette
grab
lighter.
The right, and he'd grab their hand and say, not that button. Don't push that button.
Okay, you like it because of its role in the movie.
I do, but as far as practicality, I know that's
not
very practical.
Yeah, man, where would you use that?
I don't know, it's still pretty awesome.
You're such a nice guy. Would you really eject someone from
your
car?
Well, I don't know. It's just a neat feature to have. It'd be cool to have a dummy button that said ejector seat.
Oh, yeah. I actually know a guy who had one of those. Like, he hot glued it to it was very creepy because he had a middle console and then just under the steering wheel on the right so that you could kind of see something from the passenger seat. There's this red button that looks almost like a big old-style arcade button.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he would just click it.
Sure.
And pretend that it wasn't working and then look at whoever was sitting. That guy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
When I think about it. Yeah.
See?
Anyway,
not very practical, you're right. Goofy? I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, and to be fair, you know, the adaptive camouflage might not be very practical either. It's a great way to get hit while you're driving.
True.
So this is really just a quick rundown of these Bond cars, because like we said, movie cars, we're talking about cars that are as much of a character or a star in the film as the protagonist. And,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I think definitely, you know, as we said earlier, there's a 23rd Bond film purportedly coming out. They don't even have the name yet. It's not going to be for 2011, I think it might be coming out. But, of course, we know that will be involved, or cars will be heavily involved in that series. Scott, I have just a couple questions for you.
Okay.
If you were a spy, what would your ideal gadget be? Doesn't have to be related to Bond. I just want to know.
Oh, man.
I just want to know. After that passenger seat comment, man, I'm not sure if I trust you completely. So.
Yeah, you want to go out to lunch?
No. I mean, I'll walk. Yeah, I'll walk over there.
Yeah, okay. My ideal gadget. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I would think, maybe I'd have to say smokescreen.
Smokescreen?
Yeah. Yeah, smokescreen. If I was a spy, I'd want to get away quick. But then again, you're leaving a trail of smoke wherever you're going. So, you know, it's tough to hide. It's really more of just confusing the assailant, I guess. And
there's a cool factor, too.
Yeah, I guess there is. It'd be cool to push a button and suddenly just blast someone with a big puff of smoke and you're gone.
You know what I forgot? That I forgot to mention it. People would have. This would have been my third strike on this podcast. Mm. But the one of the coolest gadgets, and we really should mention the license plates that change.
Ah, yes.
Because that actually is such a good idea that I think a couple of criminals have tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a later movie, a car-oriented action movie, The Transporter, the guy has. Whatever character has those changing license plates. As a matter of fact, that's what I want. I don't want the camouflage anymore.
Ah, so if you're trying to evade someone in a vintage Aston Martin DB5 that's silver with a red interior or whatever, if the plate changes, suddenly they don't know it's you. Is that right?
Well, I'm picturing this on my car, which is a little less
You know what? I've seen a real-life, extremely low-tech, somewhat similar version of this.
Really?
Yeah, a clearly meant for criminal purposes. This is a big car, like a big, you know, like an old Ford LTD or something like that. Maybe a Cadillac, something huge, a big car.
A land yacht.
Yeah, big land yacht. Over top of the license plate, and I was sitting at a light looking at this, over top of the license plate, there's a flap of rubber and the rubber was rolled up into, I guess, just coiled up on itself at the top, kind of like a blind would be. And it had a piece of string that went around it with it, so that it was, and then it went up into the trunk, and I'm assuming into the passenger area of the car.
Okay.
The person could raise and lower that flap to disguise the license plate from inside the car. They could block out their rear license plate.
Weird.
Or pull it back up if they needed to, you know, out in traffic so that, you know, it's legal.
The only problem with that is it obviously looks like you are a criminal.
I spotted it while I was at a traffic light,
yeah.
And I wasn't particularly looking for anything
right.
like this, but I thought, hey, what's that? And then as I thought about it, I realized what that was for. That's to disguise yourself or to conceal your identity as you're leaving.
Ingenious.
Not the same as a three-way license plate that can
right.
flip at will.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah, still.
That guy really thought about that.
Devious. Yeah, devious. That's criminal activity.
And for a little bit of CYA, as we're heading out, we think that's a bad idea,
yeah.
And our listeners should not do it.
Don't do that.
It's probably a lot of work, and you'll look guilty of sin.
That's right. Even if you're not doing anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
seems like that's just cause.
It totally looks like you're doing something wrong. Yeah,
there, that's right.
There are a couple things like that, you
sure.
know. So I guess we're wrapping up this this episode, if that's cool. Scott, have I broken down some of the
I think
cool
so.
Bond
I think
cars?
I think you hit them because, you know, there's so many involved. And I guess
yeah.
I didn't realize that there's more than Aston Martins there. I mean, I knew there were a couple, and like the Lotus and, you know, a few other examples. But I didn't realize that there were so many
BMWs,
kind of just,
Bentleys, Lincolns.
I guess you call them plain Jane cars, you know, the kind that are just
right.
Straightforward, mm-hmm. you know, the ones not loaded with gadgets, too.
But yeah, there's a lot of cars that he just happens to take as he needs them.
Yeah.
You know?
But I love the ones that Q worked on. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, those are the favorites.
Of course. They're the stars.
I don't know, man. It's just so interesting. And I don't think that they measure completely compare, you know, apples to apples with real spy cars or, you know, Secret Service cars or the president's limo when
mm-hmm.
we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the best point that we could take out of these, out of this episode is your earlier point that these could very easily end up becoming real things.
Well, some of them could.
Some of them.
Bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Is a good one.
Yeah. Underwater car could also.
Has. Scuba.
Yeah.
The one that looks like a Lotus Elise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're working on things that, you know, are similar to this. They may be toys, but, you know, still, it's possible.
It is, and that's what we're all about with our listeners here. You guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We know that this was a cursory look at the Bond cars, but we couldn't really do a two-hour show. So, but we would love to listen to your comments, or read them rather. And so what are your favorite Bond gadgets, or your favorite Bond cars, or even better, what kind of gadget would you like to see in the upcoming film in 2011? So if you feel inclined, send me and the Deuce here an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.